Section Summary. The story of Israel's monarchy is about more than David's battle with Goliath, his guerrilla war with Saul, the impulsive affair with Bathsheba, and his son Solomon's accumulation of wisdom and wives. We tend to be fixated on Saul, David, and Solomon because that's normally the exposure we get from the books from Samuel through Malachi. But there's more to these Old Testament books, almost half the Bible, than stories about kings. As intriguing as Israel's kings were, the men who wrote the monarchy history weren't aiming at producing biographies. Their messaging was primarily theological. They had a story to tell about the spiritual cause and effect of Israel's future, the wrath of God, and Yahweh's plan to prevent his original Edenic goal from being a legacy of ashes. The historical books and the writings of the prophets operate within the scope of the supernatural worldview of the biblical writers. The nations were still under the domain of hostile foreign gods. Israel was in constant conflict with enemy nations. In the time of the judges, spiritual and moral apostasy prevailed. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. The failure of the conquest produced, instead of the Edenic rule of God reborn, something akin to the lawless American West. The anarchy culminated in the demand for a king. The choice came too early with a misguided motive, but Yahweh had begun planning for David's rise even before he was born, via the ministry of Samuel, the last judge, as well as a priest, prophet, and anointer of kings. David eventually rose to prominence, but the fraternal conflict between Saul, chosen by rebellious Israelites for his height, and David, chosen by Yahweh for his heart, was emblematic of the unseen spiritual war for the land and the people. The vestiges of the Rephaim persisted, and the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle were at separate locations, dividing the priesthood. The crisis points were eventually resolved. David's men eliminated Goliath's brothers. Solomon reunited the Ark and the Tabernacle after the construction of the temple in 2 Chronicles 5, verses 1 through 14. The land promised to Abraham came under Solomon's rule and jurisdiction, 1 Kings 4:21, Genesis 15:18. Then everything fell apart in the wake of Solomon's death. Two things happened during the dual death spirals of the two kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Yahweh called prophets, assured them of his presence and power through divine encounter, and decreed a new covenant, a new solution to the reestablishment of Edenic rule. In the bitterest of ironies, Babylon would swallow up Yahweh's inheritance. The tables seemed completely turned, but appearances can be deceiving. The real irony, as prophets like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Habakkuk informed anyone who would listen, was that Babylon was Yahweh's tool. Even as Judah was taking its last gasp, Yahweh was engineering the circumstances of an everlasting kingdom that could not be contained by geography. It would be ruled by a man who was also God, whose identity must be concealed long enough for him to die and rise again so that the curse of sin would be overturned. The Lord of the dead would lose his authority, and the eternal life of Eden would encircle the earth. All of that would play out in the New Testament theology. Scholars have long thought of that narrative in two phases: the kingdom already and the kingdom not yet.